Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
All right, so we've been looking at the treasures in God's Word, what God has for us in His Word. There are so many things in the Bible that is packaged for us. And so many times when we go through situations in life, we have the Bible is very big, but we need the right word at the time that we are, the right word is what makes all the difference. And so in Job chapter 6 verse 25, he talks about the fact that how forcible are right words, It says how the English Standard Version puts it this way. How forcible are upright words, but what thus reproof from you reprove? How forcible are upright words or right words? So the thing that we need in the time of need is the right word, is the right word. And when that word, we receive a word, like I talk about the fact that so many times you may read a particular scripture, you've read it several times, but one day you read it and it's quickened to you. At that point, it becomes rhema to you, it becomes God's word direct to you. And when it comes, it's forceful, it's powerful, it cannot be resisted. How forcible are right words? It comes with such force and power. Sometimes I almost jump and I say, I never saw this before. Just the force and the power with which it comes. So Job is saying here, how forcible are right words? When the word of God came to Jeremiah, he put it this way in Jeremiah 20 verse 9. He said that the word of God was like fire shut in my bones. Sometimes when it comes, it comes like fire. It motivates you and drives you to action, or drives you to pray or say something based on the word of God. He says it was like fire shut in my bones. How forcible are right words? It was like fire shut up in my bones, and I could not stay. The right words, like when we take an examination, especially if you take like a multiple choice choice exam, there are so many options, but the right one is the answer. And then depending on how many, or let's say if it's a percentage, the right answers determine whether we pass or fail the test. The right, the Bible is big, but when we need a specific word, when we need a word from God that will transform our lives, the right words makes all the difference. And so compare that with 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where he says, study. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Timothy is a young preacher, and Paul is writing to him. But he's saying here that it will apply to us as well. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly, notice the word rightly there. How forceful are right words? So we make a determination that we are going to study the word of God till we find the right word. And notice that he says that you will not need to be ashamed. The right words that we find, the word that comes so forcefully, that will be the end of our shame and our reproach. Can I get an amen? Amen. Glory to God. So that's what happened to Joseph. Joseph, when the Bible says that when the word of the Lord came to him, let's turn to Psalm 105, verse 17 to 22. How forceful are right words? He had sent a man ahead of them. Joseph was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. He says, until the King James puts it this way, until his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and released him. The king sent and loosed him, the King James says, or the New King James says. The ruler of the people set him free. Until the right word came, until the word of the Lord came, Joseph was still in captivity. But by virtue of the word of God that came to him, that ended his captivity. Glory to God. That ended, he said, the word of the Lord tried him. He probably went through so many difficult times. God, this vision, this dream that you gave to me, it's going downhill and downhill. I've been falsely accused in the house of Potiphar. Now I'm in prison. But, and this person that said, promised that they will deliver, they will speak to me to the king after I interpreted the dream for him. For all this time, I haven't heard anything. But my Lord, when the word of the Lord came to him, the Bible said that the king sent for him and loosed him. The king sent for him and loosed him. The king sent for him and loosed him. No wonder the Bible says that you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. The right words that we receive directly from God, that marks the end of our captivity. That marks the end of our shame and reproach. That marks the end of whatever we may be going through until the word of his word came. Until his word came, the king sent for him and loosed him. Glory to God. The king sent for him and loosed him. This morning I pray that every word of God that you need for the specific season that you need will come to you. God will speak it to your heart. As you study the word of God, God will reveal it to you, and that will be the end of any form of captivity or harassment in the name of Jesus. Until his word came. You see, everything has a solution in the word. The word of God is packed. There's solution in the word of God. Hebrews 1:3 talks about the fact that he upholds all things. He upholds all things by the word of his power. By the word of his power. He upholds all things, including my thing and your thing. It is all upheld by the word of his power. God, verse 1 talks about the fact that, let's read it. Let's see it for ourselves. Hebrews chapter 1. Let's start from verse 1. Quite get going. Hebrews 1. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love his word. His word means everything to me. Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. And that word is able to hold you and I up as well. That word is able to uphold us. It's able to hold us. The answer to the crisis of life, the answer to what we need to do in life, the answer to what we have to accomplish, it is all packaged in the word of God for us. It's packaged in the word for us. The word of God is our key, is the master key to life. It's the master key to life. The word of God is the master key to life. Jesus describes himself speaking to Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Matthew 16:16. It says, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Look at verse 19. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I give you the keys. I give you the keys. I give you the keys. Keys stands for access. The keys to the kingdom of heaven. My Lord and my God, whatever you bind on earth, heaven will back you up. Whatever you loose on earth, heaven will back you up as well. And we know that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. John 1:1 talks about the fact that He is the Word of God. And so by Him being the Word of God, He gives us the keys. By Him giving us access to what is in the Word of God, what He has spoken to us, He's giving us keys, keys, keys. Keys. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. He's the one. He says that I am the one that shuts and no man can open. I open and no one else can shut it. So if Jesus is the Word, and if he's saying that He's giving me the keys, and by the same token, He's saying that when He shuts, no one can open, then by that, what that says to me is I can take the keys and shut whatever needs to be bound or closed, shut the door to the enemy, but on the other side, open myself up or open up the blessings of heaven. It just says, I give you keys. Shut the door to the enemy and open up to the blessings of God. Glory to God. The Word of God is the master key for living, for successful living. And our liberty is not guaranteed until we have God's Word. And thanks be to God, we have the Word of God as well. So what's contained in the book? What's contained in the Word of God for us? In the last few weeks, we've been looking at different things that are in the Word of God for us. But let's look at some other things that are there for us. There is divine favor in the Word of God. Access to supernatural favor. We looked at talked about Joseph earlier on. Joseph, the Bible says that when he was in Potiphar's house, God gave Joseph favor. God gave Joseph favor. Genesis chapter 39, verse 4. Favor. Genesis 39, verse 4. Just enjoying this. Glory to God. It says, "So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer over his house and put him in charge of all that he had." Of all that he had. And then look at when he was in the prison, verse 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love, and give him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." He gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. My Lord and my God, this slave that ended up in Potiphar's house, next thing you know, by the favor of God, he's running the whole house. He gets in trouble for something that he hasn't done. He ends up in prison. The next thing you know, the favor of God, the prison keeper puts everything in the hand of Joseph. What is causing all this in the life of Joseph? Next thing you know, he becomes next in command to Pharaoh. But what was the key issue here? Genesis 41:39. "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has shown you all this,'" the King James puts it this, "'since God has revealed all this to you, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. At every stage in Joseph's life, the revelation of God at work in his life, what God was revealing to him was what was attracting the divine favor. That was what was causing all these promotions. And so, if you look at Proverbs 13:15, it talks about good understanding. Good understanding generates favor. Proverbs 13:15. So it says, good sense wins favor, or good understanding wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin. Good understanding. So by the revelation, revelation is the mother of favor. By the revelation that was at work in his life, he was just attracting favor and promotion. The favor of God. I mean, favor is people doing things for you that you naturally, in the natural, don't deserve. Like Joseph in that house of Potiphar, or in the prison, or he being promoted. But he says, as so long as God has revealed, see, the word of God that is revealed to us that we walk in, that is what helps us to walk in favor. Good understanding generates favor. You could put it that way. Good sense wins favor. Favor from God. The Bible says that he surrounds us with favor like a shield. Favor comes from a revelation of God at work in our life. Like, for instance, in the life of Joseph, he could have been bitter. Look what all these people have done to me. Look what my brothers have done to me. They've sold me into slavery. Now I've ended up in a place I don't know anybody. But no, by he choosing to walk the high path and the high road, he was walking in the favor of God. Like what we talked about this morning, the radio station giving us almost a big discount. And not only that, originally, if you had gone with what they were saying, that means we're going to pay for one day more than we got it for. But we got 2 days, and the price was less. That's the favor of God at work. You see, that's the favor of God at work in our lives. Sometimes people just are kind to you. You just can't explain it. But then we also, in turn, are kind to other people. We show other people favor as well. And then, by good understanding, it says it generates favor. Good understanding generates favor. Glory, glory, glory to God. Then what else is in the Word of God? The Word of God is our empowerment to do the extraordinary. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. The empowerment to do exploits. Exploits. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Daniel 11, 32. It says, he shall seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant. But the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. I like the King James on this one. He says, the people who know their God, knowledge of God. How do we know God? We know God by his word. The people that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. Shall do exploits. Things, we are empowered to do things beyond the natural by virtue of our encounter with the Word of God. By virtue of us knowing God through his Word. You see, we cannot know God with our physical senses. We know God by what has been revealed to us. And so when we know God, we are empowered to do exploit. We are empowered to do the supernatural. The supernaturally actually becomes our natural realm because we know God and we are walking with him. We are walking with him. Jesus speaking says, I know him. I know him. I know him. The Apostle Paul said, they said the same thing. I know my God in whom I believe. I know him. I know him. It's one thing to know about somebody, and it's another thing to know someone. So Jesus, in John chapter 8, verse 55, talks about the fact that he knew the Father. It says, but you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like him. But notice, but I like this one. I love this. I do know him and I keep his word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord, I says, I do know him. And so the people were saying that, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? That such mighty works are done by his hand. By him knowing his father. He was doing exploit. That's what Daniel is talking about. They that know their God shall be strong. Weak, no. Strong. They shall be strong and do exploit. Jesus says, I know him. If I say I don't know him, I'll be telling you a lie. But I do know him, and I keep his word. I know him. You come to the place where you say, I know him. I know what the Bible says. I know what the word of God says. I know what he has spoken. I know him. And I know him. I shall be strong, and I shall do exploit. You are a pace setter in your generation. You are a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. You are the salt of the earth. Your life has value. You are the light of the world. Your light is shining everywhere you go. You are making an impact in this life for God. And you are living the life that God meant for you to live. You know him. They that know him shall be strong. And they shall do exploit. And how do we know God? We know God by what he has revealed to us in his word. So many times you may read the Bible and certain portions may not be clear. But whatever is revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever is revealed to us, we are responsible to walk in it. And as we walk in it, we begin to do mighty things for God. When we are destined for exploits, God sees you as mighty in him. Let's take, for instance, Gideon. When God came to him and said, please, my firm God, if you are looking for somebody else, somebody to use, go and find that person. I'm not. How many times do we feel that we are not qualified enough? No, God doesn't choose qualified people. He chooses available people, people who are willing. And all that we go through, look at like somebody like Peter. When he betrayed the Lord Jesus, he was weeping. He felt that he had let the Lord down. But look at Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Spirit came on him, he says that when the people were wondering, and then he stood up. A few days ago, I thought this was the person that was trying to not have anything to do with Jesus. And when he found out, he was disappointed. But my Lord, when the power of the Holy Spirit came on him, he began to minister. He began to preach. He began to declare the word of God. And that day, 3,000 people came into the kingdom of God. He says, they that know him shall be strong and shall do exploit. This is not on my notes, but probably will help someone. Thank you, Lord. They that be strong, I mean the Peter and the Gibeon part, they that know their God will be strong and will do exploit. What else is in the word of God for us? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I love it. Thank you, Lord. Our health and our prosperity as well is packaged in the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's fun. Like it. Love his word. This was talking to the people of Israel. He said, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Remember that it is he that gives you power to get wealth. But how does he do it? That he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Power to get wealth is based on the covenant. You see, the Bible is made up of the new two testaments. And that testament means covenant. Two covenants. So that our prosperity is power to get wealth that will last is based in the word of God. So if you put that together with the prayer that John prayed for the church, 3 John 2, it says, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, or you may prosper, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Notice that the prosperity or going well with you and your health is tied to the prosperity of your soul. And also the power to get well. You see, it's one thing that I keep saying this, one thing to get sick and to get well, and then it's one thing to walk in health. It's one thing to have money enough to pay your bills alone, or it's one thing also to have more to share with the needy and the poor, and to be able to give to others. Then there's another level to where you are used like Joseph to deliver a whole nation. You are so blessed and walking in the blessing that you are used to bless a whole nation. That's another level as well. When there was famine in the land, Joseph, the one who had the revelation, was the one who had the answer. And then later on, he was controlling the wealth as well. In Genesis 47, verse 19, by he operating by the covenant, people come in and said, you buy us. Now he owns the land, he owns the food, and now the people are saying, buy us. That's another level. God using you to deliver a whole nation. You see, but it's all in the word of God. So many times we just think about the bills we have to pay. It's one thing to be blessed enough to pay somebody's rent or mortgage or pay the house off or give a car to somebody. Then it's one thing to be a blessing to a whole nation. You are so prosperous and blessed that the deliverance of nations is actually going through you. God is using you to do that. But notice that I said that there is no one as wise as you. That's where God wants us to be, and that's where I see you as well. You are a blessing to people. Blessing to people. The wealth of God is flowing through you to be a blessing to families, to cities, to nations. I always like to think in terms of nations. He says, bail us, buy us. This famine is too bad. You have the he owns everything by virtue of revelation. Buy us. The worst famine, when it gets worse and worse for the well, the church will be like a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. We are entering into the last phase of this thing before Jesus Christ comes. We'll be a city on a hill that cannot be hid. The world will see a difference in our life, and they will come to us and say, we have seen that you have the answers. We know that you have the answers. You have the answers. You show us how. Glory to God. That's where you are. We are headed. That's where you are headed. In Jesus' name, if that's you, say amen. 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 Glory to God. So we being a blessing, having enough to share with the poor, with the needy, other people, and helping other people, and even helping nations, it's all packaged for us in the word of God. It says, I pray that you will prosper above everything and be in health. He wants us to have those two so we can fulfill what he has called us. But it starts, notice, with you doing well in your soul. You having a relationship with God through his word. Our minds renewed to think in line with God's word. The revelation of God's word that is revealed to us. We walking in it that we can walk in the blessing and be a blessing. That's God's plan. The Apostle John, he's been at this for a long time, saying that I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, and then even as your soul prosper, as we locate what God says concerning even our financial prosperity and our health, it's all packaged in the word of God for us. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. And then the more that we see in the word of God, the more that we enjoy and partake of. He told Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, I've given you. The more that we see in God's word, the more that we partake of it. That's why the psalmist said, open my eyes to see wondrous things in your word. And the apostle Paul, praying for the church in Ephesians chapter 1, 16, 17 and downward, he says, I pray that your eyes may be open, your eyes may be flooded with light, that you may know, there's the word know again, that you may know, it may be reveal to you the riches of his glorious inheritance that is in the saints. That is in the saints. Light, revelation, knowing, all these things go together. By it being revealed to us. Oh, glory. I remember when it was revealed to me that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. In Ephesians 1 and then Ephesians 3, chapter 2 as well. Seated with Christ in heavenly places far above all principalities and powers. That was the end of dominion, of the dominion of darkness in my life. If these guys are here and I'm way up there, then my dominion over them is established in the name of Jesus. That puts a spring in my step. That ended the dominion of darkness as soon as it is revealed to you. That's why he was saying in Ephesians 1, 16 and 17, all that. He wants you to see the glory, that the power in you is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And the devil is no match for that power. He wants you to see it. You are seated far above. If he had said above, that would have been okay. But seated far above, glory. You walk with that confidence that the principalities and powers that we have to deal with down here, they are no match for the power that is in the spirit-filled believer. No match. Thank you, Lord. Again, this wasn't on my notes. Thank you, Lord. No match for the power of the enemy, but it has to be revealed to you. Genesis 13, the one I quoted earlier, 14 to 15. As far as you can see, I have given it to you. I pray that in this season, God's word will be revealed to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will change levels. You begin to go higher and higher. Okay. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then, after the word of God is revealed, we looked at ways that we access the treasures in the word of God through fasting and prayer, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But after all these things have been revealed, a revelation is of no use, or what God reveals to us is of no use if we don't do it. The next step is to do. The obedience of faith. The obedience of faith is what makes revelation of value in our lives. The obedience of faith. So I'll give you this. Let's go to these scriptures. John chapter 21, verse 5 to 6. Jesus told Peter, cast your net on the right side. On the right side. John 21, 5 to 6. Cast your net on the right side. Glory to God. John 21, 5 to 6. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. He said, "Cast it on the right side." If you cast it on the left side, nothing will happen. You can cast it, stand there and cast it on the left side all you want. Nothing will happen. He said, cast it on the right side. They obeyed and they hauled in a great multitude of fish. Cast it on the right side. Cast it on the right side, not the left. But to when Jesus says something, whatever he says to us to do, we do it. The obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. Like the blind man, Jesus said, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and you will come back seeing." The blind man can stand there and say, "What is this person trying to tell me? I am blind. That can't he see that I cannot see?" I said I should go that was in the pool. I cannot. How do I get there? Well, that's his responsibility. They are responsible for casting the net. The blind man is responsible for getting to the pool of Siloam. He probably may have somebody helping him. He has to go. He can go to any other pool in Israel. It won't work. He has to go to the pool, a specific. Go to the pool of Siloam. You wash your eyes and you come back seeing. Can stand there and argue it out, reason it out. But he just, however he got there, he found a way to get there. And when he went there, he came back seeing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Once the word of God is revealed, we have to obey and do it. The more light we walk in, the more is revealed. Somebody said, I don't know more. The one that we know, we endeavor to walk in it. And then God's word does not work in isolation. God's word works with us, in cooperation with us. We have to work the word of God. God's word does not work in isolation. God's word works with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's what he told. He said in Mark chapter 16, verse 20. Thank you, Lord. Mark 16, 20. He says, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. The King James says, the Lord work with the word. What? Mark 16, 20. God's word works in cooperation with us. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, in the King James, it's in italics, and confirming the word with signs following. He was working with them through the word of God. Through the word of God. Through the word of God. So when the word of God, God's word is revealed to us, God works through his word, but we have to work with them through the word of God. So no wonder in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, the word of God doesn't work in isolation. It works with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Glory to God. Paul says that I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. God gave the increase. Then verse 9 says that for we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. We are God's building. We are God's fellow workers. We are God's fellow workers. We work with God. My Lord, imagine having a God as a co-laborer, as a co-worker. He's the best one that I know of. Very sweet. Very good to work with. Working through the word, but they are responsible for the planting. We are responsible for the planting of the word in our hearts. We are responsible for the watering, and then he brings the increase. He brings the increase, God's word. That's so many times we go to God and we cry to God, God help me. Usually what he will do is give you an instruction or point you to a scripture that he can work with. And then we work with him through that. There is that process. The word of God is seed. But we have to plant that word in our hearts. That's our responsibility. Working with God through his word. He's the best farmer that I know of. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Working together with him. Working together with him. That's how God works. He works through his word. We walk in fellowship and in cooperation with him. With his word, working together then with him, we appeal to you not to receive the word of God in vain. We are co-laborers. So we take that word, we put it in our heart, plant it in our heart. We are not just hearers of the word of God, but we are doers of the word of God. Doers of the word of God. And as we do the word of God, we enjoy the blessing that is in there for us. We enjoy the blessing that is packaged in there for us. You see, the results are in the doing. It's in the action. That's where the results are. Not just hearing it, not just reading it, but being a doer on the word of God, acting on the word of God. So that's what James said in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He is so good. The privilege to be a co-laborer with Almighty God. My Lord and my God. Verse 22, James 1:22. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Notice verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, Be no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. Notice, he will be blessed in his doing. Glory to God. The blessing is in the doing. The blessing is in the doing. The blessing is in the doing. He will be blessed in his doing. That is how we partake of the blessing of God. Whatever he tells us to do, we do it. We do it. We in obedience to his word. There are so many things that he has revealed. There are so many things that we can do. It says not just being a hearer, but he will be blessed in his doing. I pray that is your story in the name of Jesus. We begin to act on the word of God. We begin to do the word of God. And then we partake of the blessing. Everyone can be a doer of the word of God. Look at Anna. The Bible says that he served God. Luke 2:37. The woman was very old. She couldn't go out or do many things. But the Bible says that she served God. She found something to do. Luke 2:37. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory. Luke 2:37. We can actually probably start from 36. And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping. The key just put this way, it says serving God with fasting and prayer night and day. She found something that she could hook onto to do. To serve God with serving God with fasting and prayer. We can pray. There's so many things. We can seek God's kingdom first. When we wake up in the morning, say good morning to God and say, God, how can I be of service to you? I may be going about my daily duties. Reveal to me what I can do for you. See, that's the master key to living. The key to living is finding what God says and doing it. Matthew 6:33 talks about the fact that seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things, clothing, food, all these things, that is the key to successful living. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. She served God. She served God, serving God and his interest. In the end, God, how can I be of service to you? You just reveal it to me. I will do it. And then, it may not be big tasks. It may be things that you lay someone on your heart to pray for. He may lay me on your heart to pray for me. Pray for Pastor Paul that God will give you more revelation in the word of God. Pray for me. You pray for me. Pray for your mother. Pray for somebody else. You can always find something to hook onto. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Glory to God. Glory to God. We got to a point where we needed a car. We just had to, the commuter car was just gone bad, and we had to do something. So that Saturday, I think I was preparing for church, and Paula said she was out there looking for people to bring to the Lord. And so we didn't have time to go. And then the Monday, she went, and the favor of God, she prayed that God give us favor. And for the price of a car, new car, we got it for half the price. While we were busy taking care of his stuff, he was busy taking care of what we needed at the time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Let's pray. How forceful are right words? 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 My Lord, pray that the word of God that you need for this season will be revealed to you. The word of God that you need for this season will be revealed. How forceful are right words? How forceful our right word. How forceful our right word. He sent his word and delivered them from all their distractions. He sent his word and delivered them from all. The sent word is the deliverance and our freedom and our liberty. Sanctify your word, for your word is truth. In the mighty name of Jesus, until his word came, the Lord of the Lord tried him. Is he going to persevere? Are we going to persevere? Or we are going to give up? But when his word came, the king sent for him and loosed him. I pray in the name of Jesus that God, the word that you need for this season will be revealed to you this morning, will be revealed to you in this month. The word that you need, we need to move forward for the rest of this year, the plans, the goals that we set are to accomplish. Whatever we need, the word that we need will be revealed to us. One word from heaven is what makes the difference. One word from God that is revealed to us in his word, that makes the difference. Just talk to God this morning and say, God, reveal yourself to me through your word. Reveal yourself to me. Speak to me. Minister to me. Let me hear your word. How forceful. That word that comes with fire, that comes with power, that drives me to action, that when I do it, a miracle will result. In the mighty name of Jesus, let it be revealed to me. Oh, my Lord and my God. Glory, 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 glory. Just talk to God. Let not just be an ordinary morning. Let not just be an ordinary day, an ordinary service. One word from God. Hook onto something. God. Cry out to him this morning. Speak to him in the mighty name of Jesus. Until his word came, he was still in captivity. But when the word of the Lord came, his captivity ended. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that which we need, let it be revealed to us. Let your Holy Spirit reveal it to us. As we study the word of God, let the right word of God, let the right word be divided unto us, that we may not be ashamed, that may the shame and reproach, that will be the end of it. Thank you, Lord, my Lord and my God. The presence of God is in this place this morning. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, we love you. You have, it says, you say that eye has not seen, neither has it entered the ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, what you have prepared for them, but you have revealed them to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. The revelation of your word that we need. What you have packaged for us in this month. What you have packaged for us in this year. Begin to reveal it to us. And as we obey and serve you, may we partake of it in the mighty name of Jesus. You said you daily load us with benefit. You daily load us with your miracles. Your goodness and your mercy follow us every single day. Lord, may those ones not pass us by. May they not pass us by, but reveal to us what you will have us do. And as you reveal to us what you want us to do, as you reveal to us what you will have us do, we partake of what you have packaged for us. We partake of your blessing. The blessing that comes from acting and from doing the word of God. We partake of it in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you are listening to this and you don't know Jesus, that's unfortunate. Access to the very life that he has purchased for you starts with an encounter with the Lord Jesus. Starts with meeting the Master. Starts with coming to him. You just pray and say, Lord Jesus, I have heard your word. I want to live the life that you have purchased for me. Come into my heart. I believe that you were raised from the dead. And that, Lord, today I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you that I'm saved. Help me to live a life that is pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord. If you are sick as well, and you are listening to this or hearing this, just say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you bore my sickness and my infirmity. You are my healer. You wish above all things that I live in health. I receive the health and healing that Jesus Christ purchased for me. Thank you, I'm healed. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, every sickness is out of my body. And in the name of Jesus, just do what you couldn't do before and receive the healing that has been purchased for you. Thank you, Lord. Enlighten us the steps that we should take every single day, a lamp unto our feet. Thank you, Lord, that this week we will know what to do. This week, you reveal yourself to us as we study your word. Thank you, Lord, that we'll have a blessed week. Thank you, Lord, that as we are faithful to do what you have called us to do, what you tell us to do on a daily basis, will you give us so many miracles that we cannot contain, that we cannot even contain it. Your goodness and your mercies follow us every single day. You know the deepest desires on our heart. I pray that those desires are granted in the mighty name of Jesus. Put a laughter in our mouth. He said, when the Lord turned our captivity, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Fill our mouth with laughter this week. Let us go forth knowing that the greater one lives in us. He is willing to communicate, to talk to us, and we fellowship with you. And we look for opportunities to be a blessing as well. That's our goal, to be a blessing. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord bless us. May he keep us. May he cause his face to shine upon us, surround us with favor like a shield, and give us peace, his shalom, nothing missing and nothing broken in our life. Wisdom to walk in what he has prepared for us. Wisdom, may wisdom and knowledge be the stability of our times, like the Bible says. Thank you, Lord. We love you so much. Because you first loved us, and we go on walking with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. For a blessed time together, we treasure these moments. We treasure the words that you speak to us. We really appreciate it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.